All right. Well, this morning we're going to be in Ephesians. There's going to be an outline there in your bulletin. Fill in the blank. If you want to follow along, you're welcome to do so. Kind of keep you on track. This will go over today's message. And there's a little disclaimer there in the bottom side of it. I had to call an organization this week. It's called Authentic Manhood. Those of you who have been in our men's study, you men, you recognize the name Robert Lewis. I've been going through some of his material the last couple of years. So I called down there to see if I could borrow some of that for the second half of the message today. And they said, absolutely. So a lot of what we have today is from Robert Lewis and his organization down there, and it's really good, and I thought it'd be helpful for us as we talk about this life in a madhouse. We're going to meet Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, and we're going to be talking about this. No child is perfect. Strange, but true. No child is perfect. No father is either, and Ephesians 6 speaks to both. And understanding our roles helps us survive this madhouse we call family. We've been talking here, a few weeks ago we talked about the role of wives in marriage, how God created women to be helpers to their husbands, and what that looks like in a marriage relationship. We talked then about husbands, how they're supposed to love their wives, and what that means to be a servant leader to their wives. Last week, Zach filled in for me, and he talked a little bit about the employee-employer-slave relationship and all those different things that they mentioned there out of Ephesians 6. And this week, we're going to come back up just a little bit and fill in this hole with the children. How do children respond in this whole thing called family? Which those of you who have a family, you understand every day you wake up and it's just a madhouse some days, right? We know that, right? All of us at one point or another, we're in a family. Even if you don't have your own kids now, you were a child at one point, and with your parents, or with even just one parent, you were still a family, and there were days you're like, my stars, what are we doing here, right? We all lived in that. But understanding our specific roles, what God called us to do within the whole picture of a family, helps us survive this. And really, it kind of applies to church as well, as we sit and think about the church, because we are made up of a whole lot of different people. You saw all the committee members up front here. And by the way, there's a great reminder for the committee members. So now you know who you are. Come tomorrow night's meeting. Hint, hint. Right. Had to throw that out there. Okay. But we understand that we have different roles as well. We do. We're here to help one another. We're here to serve one another. We're here to love on one another. These are things that we do as a church. These are things we do as a family. So let's dive into this. Let's see what Paul has to write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. What does Paul write to us out of Ephesians chapter 6, as we read about this whole aspect of family, specifically children, and then fathers to their children? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. It says this, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. God, we're coming to you today, and we're studying your word. And Father, there's going to be some things here for all of us, hopefully, to take away. And God, I pray for wisdom. Help us be able to understand what you have for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's dive in. I'm a little keyed up today. My wife will tell you I'm a little keyed up, so I'm going to try not to talk fast because I've just got this nervousness building up within me here. So we're going to keep her slow today. But the role of children. Kids, you're going to love this. Here it is. Obey. Children, do what? Obey. Right. You guys are awesome. It's like a wanna. Very good. Children, obey. Now, that's something that's not necessarily on our top 10 list of things to do, is it? No, not so much. It's kind of hard some days. But in your role, as in this family that God has placed you, your role is to obey. Now, if you go back to Proverbs, wow. Man, he's a little young to be hating that word so much. Okay. He didn't like that. I've had people vote on my messages, but never quite so loudly. Okay. All right. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 13. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. A wise son. Now, here's the thing, kids. When I was your age, I thought I knew everything, right? I did. And I kind of wanted to know everything, right? And so the Proverbs is saying here, he says, look, a wise son hears his father's instructions. So kids, if you want to be wise, if you want to be brilliant, Okay? What's Proverbs say? Listen to your father's instructions. And there are things you're like, what in the world? You don't understand. You don't know my dad. Well, that's true. But I know kids because I was one, believe it or not. In some ways, I still are. How's that for good grammar? It's not good grammar. Don't say it that way. Dean and Erica took a picture of a sign. It was at a sale barn, and they sent it to me. It tells about the attitude kids have towards their fathers and their father's instructions. At age 4, my daddy can do anything. At age 7, my dad knows a lot, a whole lot. 11, my father doesn't quite know everything. At 13 years, oh, well, naturally, dad doesn't know everything. At 16 years, dad, hopelessly old-fashioned. 19 years, oh, that old man's out of date. What do you expect? 25 years, he knows a little bit, but not too much. At 30 years, I better find out what dad thinks about it. At 35 years, okay, a little patience, let's get dad's meaning first, all right? 50 years, what would dad have thought about this? At 60 years, my dad knew literally everything. And at 65 years, I wish I could talk it over with dad once more. You know, that's so true. When we were first born, and well, not when we were first born, as a young kid, you look up to your dad a lot. But then as you get older, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, especially in your teen years, you begin to think that my dad doesn't have a clue about anything. And then when you get older even more and you begin to have your own kids, you're like, holy cow, how'd my dad not eat me, right? And you begin to see that your dad had some wisdom. Kids, let me tell you, your dad has some wisdom. Proverbs says, a wise son hears his father's instruction. Go to Ephesians. Your role in all this is to obey. That's what God wants in this madhouse of family. Your role as kids is to obey. Proverbs chapter 23. Listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she is old. This is easy to do. Again, we look at the whole principles in scriptures. Why would God tell us to do something if it was something that came naturally to us? He doesn't need to tell us to breathe every single day. We just do that. But God gives us instructions to do things when we don't do those things naturally, all right? So listen to your father. Do not despise your mother. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice, all right? Guys, when you were a teenager, I'm speaking to the guys here, how many of you thought you had a brilliant idea? And one, either your dad saved you from it or two, your dad let you do it to show you how unbrilliant it really was, right? Have you been there? Come on, guys. We know we can talk ourselves into anything, can't we? We can. And I look back at my life and think, how am I still alive? All right? Because some of the stupid stuff that I did, we as men, we understand this, okay? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. There were days that I was, frankly, a fool. I'll be honest with you. Because I could talk myself into anything. But what happens when a wise man listens to advice? Kids, your parents do know. Hard as it is to believe, your parents do know some things, right? And then honor. The second thing you do, you obey and you honor your parents. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God has given you. Back up to Ephesians chapter 6 again. It says this, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise. Did you catch that? This is the first commandment with the promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And this is the promise out of Exodus chapter 20. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God has given you. That's the promise that God has for you. It's the first commandment with promise. Honor your father and mother. You think, well, how do I do that? How do I show my parents honor? Well, it's interesting. Proverbs chapter 20:11 speaks of this. Even a child makes himself known by his acts, by whether his conduct is pure and upright. Your parents, amazingly enough, hear from others what they think of your kids. What they think of you as kids, right? They hear these things, all right? So you as a son, you as a daughter, your parents are hearing from teachers, from neighbors. They're hearing perceptions. Sometimes those perceptions are honoring for them as parents. Sometimes they're not. It's really up to you kids. How are you going to do this? Are you going to honor your parents? Because your conduct, well, your conduct shows. Your actions show. This is a way to honor your father and your mother. I had a pastor friend of mine. He ministers a few hours down the road. He almost lost his job because of his kids. A lack of honor is what it came down to, a lack of honor. That's a shameful thing. It was shameful for him to almost lose his position. Meanwhile, probably more because of my wife's influence than my own, I think I have good kids. I really do. They're not perfect. They're not. They're like me, unfortunately, poor guys. But you know what? I got good kids. And I will say that I'm honored by my children. Yeah, we have days, we go around, absolutely. But I'm honored by my children. And that's a great example of what our kids do for us. So kids, if you want to honor your mom and dad, what you do, how you act in public, how you act towards the church family, how you act to those older than you, that will be a way of honoring your parents. And God will honor you for that. Proverbs 15:20 says, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Many of you as adults, you sit there and think, I think I was 33 when I heard a radio episode by Focus on the Family where they were talking about calling your parents and thanking them for one thing you learned from them. Just thanking them for one thing you learned from them. I was 30-some years old, and I remember, you know what? I've never done that. I never called. So I remember calling my dad and thanking him for one thing. My dad taught me how to work. He put me on a cemetery. I was mowing cemeteries at the age of 9. My first job, I had 500 people underneath me. Thank you. It's well played right there. Don't shake your head, Denise. That was a good one. All right. Anyway, I remember calling my dad. My dad cried on the phone when I told him, thank you for teaching me something. When I told him, thank you for that. It doesn't matter how old you are, your father needs to know, wants to know, should know, because he has taught you something good. And kids, it doesn't matter how old a kid you are, you can call your parents, your mom and your dad, and you can thank them for something. And that's a way of honoring your parents. Yeah, you don't have to agree with everything they did. Absolutely not. But there's something that you learned that was good, that was positive, and you can make your parents glad. That's what a wise child can do. So fathers, in the middle of all this, what do we do? Well, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. You know, it's easy to skip that verse. We go to Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, and we say, hey, kids obey, kids obey, kids obey, kids obey. But then it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. And I'm going to look at this much like it was in Ephesians chapter 5. For guys, let's face it, sometimes we focus on the whole wives submit and we forget our role. We forget our role in that. And so then we come to our kids and say, hey, kids, obey, and we forget our role. When in reality, our role is the most important role. And as we do ours, then the others tend to follow. Ephesians says, do not provoke your children to anger. Proverbs says it this way, grandchildren are the crown of the aged and the glory of children is their fathers. Here's the thing, we as dads can shame our own kids. The glory of children is their fathers. Guys, we have a role. We as men have a role in our kids' lives. We absolutely do. We can provoke our children, and we can make it much more difficult for them to fulfill what God has called them to do. Children, you are to obey, but dads, we are not to provoke our children. So let's look at the context. Back up again. Look at the context. I already mentioned this briefly. We've got instructions to wives in here. So you back up to Ephesians chapter 5. Understanding the separation of the chapters, Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, those separations, those aren't inspired. Paul didn't write down chapter and verse in his. No, it was some monk hundreds of years later that did that on the back of a horse, okay? So we understand that these things aren't inspired. So this breakdown of Ephesians 5, 6, all those, it was all one letter, all flowing together. So he got done talking to wives, then he talked to husbands, and then moved right into this whole thing of children. So we have the instructions to wives, we have the instructions to husbands, okay? And here's where we as dads, we screw up. Because we expect our kids to do what we aren't doing. Because they could back up to Ephesians chapter 5 and say, wait a minute, Dad, what about your part? And we just sit there and we look at them and said, forget that. Don't do as I do as I say, right? How many times have we as dads basically thought that very same thing and maybe even communicated that? Don't do as I say. Dads, we can provoke our children. Do not expect our kids to do something that we're not doing. If we're not fulfilling God's role for us, what God has for us, then we're hypocritical in expecting our kids to do this, what we aren't willing to do. Dads, do not expect your kids to do what you're not doing. So, what do we do? Well, our role in this is to train our kids. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We train our kids, and we sit there and think, well, practically speaking, Pastor, what does that look like? How do I train my kids? Because that's something that we struggle with. Many of us were not given good instruction what that looks like. We weren't given a good example. What does it mean to train your kids? What does that look like? Well, this is what we're going to get into a little bit from Robert Lewis. Now, let me put this chart up here. This is a chart. We've got a chart that's high on love, low on love, high on discipline instruction, low on discipline instruction. We've got four quadrants. All right, you got a quadrant over here, quadrant, quadrant, quadrant. Four quadrants. Where do we as dads fall in these? What kind of dads are typically out there? So let's pull these things up, okay? In this quadrant, you've got authoritative dad, high love, high discipline instruction. Authoritarian, low love, low discipline instruction. You've got neglectful, low discipline instruction, low in love. Then you got permissive, high love, low in discipline instruction. We've got all these different dads. High discipline, low love. Okay? Low discipline, low love. All of these things. High love, high, low discipline, and then you've got high on both. So what kind of dad is out there? What kind of dad do we want? Well, in a church, they've done studies on this, and in churches, the typical dad is this dad right here. My generation, my father, was that kind of dad. That's the kind of dad that I had, the authoritarian dad. High in discipline instruction, but I didn't hear he loved me until I was 14 years old after his mom and dad, after my parents split up for the first time, and he went to counseling and realized what was going on. That was the first time I remember my dad saying, I love you. It's 14 years old. High discipline, low love, authoritarian. The studies have shown that is the worst kind of father you can possibly be. And dads, this is where most of us are. Most of us fall there. We have a hard time telling our kids we love them. We have a hard time showing our kids we love them. We have a hard time just spending time with our kids. When's the last time you as a dad took one of your kids out for lunch? Just one of your kids. Or out for ice cream. Or to do something fun. When's the last time you put your arm around and said, hey, I love you? When's the last time you read a book to them? When's the last time you did these things as a dad? Dads, we have a role in this. This is the worst one. Second is right here, neglectful. The low on discipline instruction, low on love. That is actually a better dad. It's better to be that kind of dad than this kind of dad. It's almost better, hear me out, it's almost better to be an absent father than to be this kind of dad right here. We sit there and we look, well, at least I'm home every night. Yeah, but what are you teaching your kids? Dads, we have a role. Are we filling it? Right up here, this is number two, permissive. This is the second best kind of love, the one low on discipline and instruction, high on love. Kids need love. Absolutely, they need love. Right now, we have a generation that's becoming very permissive, and that's our downfall. That's much to our downfall, okay? The scriptures do say, teach your children, train your children, train them, train them, train them. Discipline them. What the Bible says, discipline them. Absolutely, we are allowed to do that. Scripture is very clear on those things, okay? It absolutely is. And you sit there and you look at the whole thing from, you look at the, in Proverbs, it talks about, you know, the, using the rod, he who spares the rod spoils a child, and that is not referring to a car, kids, okay? He who spares the hot rod spoils a child, not true, all right? It's discipline, okay? There's a thing, and God disciplines us as well. And sit there and think, well, pastor's biblical. It is biblical. Whether we like it or not, it is biblical. It is, because that whole word for child is the same word used in 1 Samuel. When it talks about Samuel as a baby, still being nursed, that's the same word. It's a little baby. Even children were to be taught, were to be instructed. They were. This is what Scriptures has for us. So dads, we have to understand that there's a role for us in this. The best kind of dad right here is authoritative. High on discipline and instruction. Okay? You can't just have discipline without instruction. You can't have instruction without discipline. There needs to be both. Do you understand that? There has to be both. But we have to be high on love. Love is the most important one. We've got to be high on love. Dads, we historically have failed miserably at this. And when we feel miserably at this, when our kids do not feel like we love them, do not feel like they care for us, that we care for them, then when it comes down to obedience, they may do it, but they're not doing it with the right heart. And dads, we want kids who do it because of a loving response. We have a role in how our children respond to us. We have a role in how our children respond to God. So let's break down this discipline instruction. What's that look like? Well, here's a chart I'm going to show you. It's going to be too big for you, too big. It's going to be a lot of things. You're not going to be able to read it well. Okay, it's called Dad's Game Plan. I've got printouts here. If any of you dads are interested in this, let me know. This is a really good printout. And what it does, I'm going to show you a blown up of it here. What it does, it gives you a breakdown for your age of children. Across the top, you have 1, 2, 3, all the way up to the teenage years, okay? What they need at what age. So right here we have this whole thing. They need to see. What do they need to see? Well, even at the age of 1 year old, they need to see dad loving mom. They need to see that. All the way through their years, they need to see dad loving mom. What do they need to hear? They need to hear, I love you. Every year of their life, they need to hear the phrase, I love you. What do they need to receive from you? Well, beginning at the age of 10 down here, you can see affirming encouragement, what that looks like. Okay, and that goes on to their teen years. They're going to need life instruction beginning around the age of 6. Life instruction, virtues, basic life skills. There's nothing more frustrating than a kid going to college, getting a flat tire, and having no clue how to change it. There are kids that are that way. Dads, we can stop some frustrations in our kids just by working with them. Basic skills, how to handle finances. I was not taught how to balance a checkbook. Financial Peace University saved our marriage because my wife and I were going deeper and deeper in debt and had no clue how to get out. None. I wasn't taught. But you can bet I'm teaching my kids. These are things that we as dads can do with our kids. It's just a blown up of it. Dad, if you're interested in that, I've got copies of that up here in front. You can get it after service, okay? And if you're really interested in it, you haven't been, I got a study that we could go through together that just breaks this down even more. It's very fascinating for all of us to go through. What's it mean to be a dad to our kids? Well, there's three things every child needs to hear from us as fathers. As we think about this role and we think about training our children, we think about loving our children, there are things that we need to give to our kids. They need to hear, I love you. Every child needs to hear, I love you. Every child needs to hear, I'm proud of you. Every child needs to hear, you're good at, and then tell them what they're good at. Every child needs this. Let's break this down a little bit. Matthew chapter 3, 16 to 17. When Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him, and behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Did you catch that? This is my beloved Son. What's he saying? I love you. Do you hear that? I love you. God the Father saying to God the Son, I love you. What's that next part? With whom I am well pleased, I am proud of you. Every child needs to hear, I love you, I am proud of you. And let's go to Luke, where you see the Mount of Transfiguration. Luke chapter 9, the Mount of Transfiguration. A voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him, you're good at. Jesus Christ had something to offer his disciples. And God the Father was saying, look, my Son is good at this. Listen to him. Dads, your kids need to hear. They need to hear I love you. They need to hear I'm proud of you. And they need to hear you're good at. You're good at something. And tell them what it is. And when you're doing instructions with them, basic instructions, and we're learning how to do it, and they do a good job, you need to recognize that. Alex and I yesterday were both doing something we don't particularly like doing. I don't enjoy washing dishes. He doesn't enjoy vacuuming the floors, right? But we did it, okay? But he had the wand out of the vacuum. He was doing it underneath the cabinets like he was supposed to, like he was trained to do, and he did a good job. Yesterday he heard that. Simple instructions. When they do a good job, tell them, great job. Kids need to hear that. I'm not a perfect dad, trust me. Rachel has told me before. She's quoted Ephesians 6:1-4 at me, or 6:4. Why would she do that? Fathers, do not provoke your children. I don't understand it. Okay, a few weeks ago, I did tell my two oldest ones that they were from my first wife. Alex got nervous. Ian's like, he's still married to her. Oh, okay. That might have been provoking them a little bit, I suppose. Sorry, kiddo. See, I'm not a great dad here, guys, all right? I mess with my kids. But I hope my kids know I love them. I hope they know I'm proud of them. And I hope they know what specifically they're good at. Dads, we have a role in this. We have a role to play. So again, recap, what do they need? They need this. I can't emphasize it enough. Dads, if you haven't said it, go home today and say it. Pull each child aside. Don't say it to them as a group. Say it to each of them. Pull them aside and say, I just want you to know I'm your dad and I love you. I do. I love you. And I am proud to be your dad. Not saying you're a perfect kid, but you're a good kid. And I'm proud to be your dad. And for those who are older and have shown some skills, something like that, say, you know what? You're good at something. My little Asher is going to be an accountant. That guy can organize stuff like I've never seen in my life. It's frankly quite funny to watch, all right? His cars, he'll sort them out by color. It's just amazing to see this. He pigeonholes everything. He's going to be good at that. He's going to be good at that. These are things, dads, if you see, if you don't understand, ask your wife. Say, hey, what are these kids, what kind of characteristics do they have? She'll tell you. Pick up on that. Begin training them to do that because God has given them a bend. Train up a child in the way he should go, and literally the way he is bent, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Dads, we have a role in this. I love you, I'm proud of you, and you're good at. So what? Well, dads, there's a few things to remember in all this. I know I've been picking on the dads, but here's the thing. As we go, so goes the family. And that's the truth. You sit there, and as we go, so goes the family. So dads, we have a major part in our children fulfilling verses 1 through 3. So in all this, what do we do? Well, dads, we've got to hold on to the goal. There's a goal here, and we've got to hold on to the goal in all this. We have to. We have to hold on tight. What's the goal? Never stop pointing your child to God. When they're 2 and 3 years old and they wake up crying from a nightmare, what do you do? Say, you know what? I can't take care of the dream, but I know somebody who can. And we point them to God. And we point them to God. And we point them to God. That's what we do as dads. We point them to God. And we never stop praying that he or she's going to go to God. That's what we're praying for. That they will go there. That as a child, they won't just go to church, but they'll get that. That will become ingrained. Because here's what's happening right now. From the age 17, when they, most average 17-year-olds, we're losing, last I heard, I think it was 1 out of every 9 17-year-olds stop attending church. If they grew up in a church, 1 out of every 9 stops attending. We lose that many of them. Dads, we are missing something. We're missing something. Now, inevitably, they begin coming back when they have their own kids. But there's about 10, 15, maybe even 20 years in there where they stop going to church and they fall away. Dads, we're missing something. We need to begin praying. We need to begin living, frankly, living God to our kids. Never stop holding on to your time. You've got to hold on to your time, dads. Think about this. What is the most important in your home? When we sit and think, what's the most important? Well, it shouldn't be the next sports game. It shouldn't even necessarily be changing the oil in the vehicle. It should be, and I'm going to say this, and I use the word should correctly, I think. When you come to your home, this is the physical aspect of your home. Your wife should be number one. Your kids should be right underneath that, number two. These are what's most important in your home. So, if those are what's most important, are you leaving those things to chance? Are you just assuming that because my wife said her vows 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, that she's going to stay committed to me, that we're going to have a great marriage even after the kids are gone? I said it before and I'll say it again. Empty nesting is your punishment or your reward for what you've done up to that point. It's your punishment or your reward. You can't leave it to chance. And your kids, you cannot leave it to chance. If you're taking down notes, write down the song, Cats in the Cradle. If you've never heard it, go home and listen to it. Because that's teaching this whole philosophy. Cats in the Cradle. Guys, that'll break your heart. Are you leaving the best things to chance? Or are you actively involved in your kids' upbringing? Are you actively involved in your kids' hearing, feeling, love? Are you involved in that? Fathers, hold on to your responsibility. Live with integrity, character. Character, character, character. It's never wrong to do the right thing. It's never wrong to do the right thing. It may challenge you. It may cost you, dads. But it's never wrong to do the right thing. Robert Lewis tells a story of a young man. He wasn't even 10 yet. He was out fishing with his father. They'd gone to the cabin, rented the cabin for the weekend. Bass season was opening up the very next day. They were out fishing that evening, just casting, clearing lines, things like that. His son caught a master angler bass. Season hadn't opened yet. It wasn't open for 2 more hours. Dad told his son, said, you got to put it back. It's the right thing to do. You have to put it back. His son said, I put it back. He said, I never caught another bass like that one ever again. But I learned something from my dad that day. I learned something. I saw my dad's integrity. I saw my dad's character that day. I learned something. Dads, what are we teaching our kids? Yesterday in Baumgars, I had an experience, and I came home to my wife, and I told her, I said, what irritated me the most was what that dad was teaching his kid. We were there waiting. They were training a new cashier. You know how it goes at Baumgars sometimes, especially on Saturdays, on a warm Saturday, right? Everybody's there. So we're in line, and there's one line that's going through, and the other line is just, well, it's kind of closed because the other, they're being trained. And so the trainee got ready to take over by herself. And so the experienced worker went over to the other side. She called and she said, hey, who wants to come over? I'll help whoever's next. Well, the person in front of me wasn't moving. The person behind me, they kind of gestured. So I grabbed my 2 younger boys and we wandered over that way. Meanwhile, a dad and his son had cut out from behind, went all the way around the front and cut in line in front of us. And the son just stood there grinning at us because he knew exactly what he had done. And I told my wife, I said, that dad taught his kid something that day. And it wasn't a positive thing. It wasn't so much that he cut in line, it's that he was training his child to do the very same thing that he did. Dads, we're teaching our kids. Are we living our lives with integrity? Talk about provoking your children. When we get mad at our kids for treating somebody rudely and yet we do the very same thing, that's provoking our children. Dads, are we living our lives with integrity? Are you valuing the spiritual things enough? Do your kids see you value spiritual things? You want them to value spiritual things? Are you valuing spiritual things? Do they know that you study God's word on your own? Do they know that you pray together with your wife? Do they see you do these things? Dads, are you living with integrity? Constantly upgrade your parenting skills. You know, there's so much material out there on parenting right now. There's tons of it. Some's really good, some's really bad, and some's in between. But dads, if you're not reading, you're not growing. If you're not learning, you're not growing. If you're not talking, getting advice from others, and trust me, no dad is perfect. We've been, oh man, a couple by the name of Mike and Cheryl Osmond saved my wife and I. Saved one of my kids' lives, let's be honest with you, okay? Because we were having problems and we didn't know what to do. We sought advice. We were given good advice, and it was a turning point. It was a turning point in our parenting skills from that moment on. A big turning point because we had, frankly, the guts to say, look, we're screwing this up. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know how to handle this. Upgrade your parenting skills. No parent is perfect. We just aren't. That means there's something for us to learn. Are you trying to learn? Take the good, throw away the bad. There's good and bad in every book out there. There's some that's very, very good. There's some that's very, very bad. Take the good, throw away the bad. It's the way it is in marriage books. It doesn't matter what kind of book it is. It's there. But upgrade your parenting skills. There are a few here at church who do really, really well at that. And I commend you for that. We were given a book by a couple not too long ago that we read that has some really good advice in it on parenting. There's just some great things out there. So guys, upgrade. Upgrade, upgrade, upgrade. Do not leave your child's instructions to chance. You as dads have a role in this. And then finally, fathers, you need to hold on to your mate. Here it is, Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh. We looked at this 2 weeks ago. Do not be harsh. Do not be bitter with them. Because dads, we can be bitter towards our wives, and our kids will see that. What are you teaching them? Are you teaching your son how to handle, how to treat his wife? How to treat women? How to treat them with respect? What are you teaching your kids? What are you teaching them? Are you allowing your daughter to have an example of a man that you want her to marry? Or are you being the example of a man that she may go to because that's what her dad was, but the kind of guy that you just want to, well, kneecapping maybe, right? First time he shows up, you're sitting there loading the gun, thinking, what are you going to do when you mess with my kid, okay? Because sometimes we want our daughter to marry anybody but who we are. Let's be honest. Dads, what kind of example are you being? In your relationship with your wife, what kind of example are you being to your sons and to your daughters? The greatest gift you can give your kids, the greatest gift you can give your kids is to love their mom. And that's a true statement. It will gross them out, and it's absolutely fine. They will live. And frankly, it saves on the grocery bill, okay? So if you're going to kiss her, do it right before supper and they don't eat it. Never mind. All right, I'm digressing. Kids, it's a good thing to see your parents love each other. It's a good thing. But parents, you got to do it. And dads, this is you. This comes down on you. Are you being that kind of dad? All right, kids, here it is. Obey because it's pleasing to God. That's it. You may think, you know what, my mom and dad, they frustrate them. They don't do any of those things. Okay. All right. God says it. Are you going to obey because it's pleasing to God in spite of what your parents are like? That's what God wants. There is no out. There is no excuse. Are we going to obey because God commands it? Parents are screwed up. I was talking to my friend Ed Carroll yesterday. He had a foster, him and his wife had a foster girl spending the weekend with him, whose mom sold her. sold her when she was in lower elementary. The guy who bought her is now in jail, and her mom is probably headed that way. There are messed up parents out there. There are. So we're not to do what's immoral. But most of the time, our parents don't ask us to do things that's immoral. They just ask us to do things. Kids, are you going to obey? Because there is a reward. And all of this, surviving the madhouse, is going to require grace. You're going to have to show it. You're going to have to live it. You're going to have to embrace it. Grace is what it takes. It is all about grace. We've looked at that in Ephesians over and over again, how it's all about grace. We talk about the grace that God has given us, allowing us riches and all things. All heavenly blessings are ours because of grace. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about how we're saved by grace, saved by grace, saved by grace. And now we're to live by grace. By that grace given to you, I encourage you to walk in a manner worthy. Why? Because of grace. Guys, it's going to take grace. It's going to take grace. Grace given to us by a Father who knows everything we need. We have a God who is good. We have a God who is a good Father. And that same God has challenged us to be good fathers as men. Us to be good husbands as men. Wives to be good helpers. And children to be obedient. The question is, are we going to do it? God, we're coming to you today. And Lord, some days we're at a loss on how to respond to the situation we find ourselves in, Father, because it's hard, it's tough, it's not easy. God, I pray that you give us strength. Help us to live grace. And Lord, we're about to come and sing to you here this song of Good, Good Father, and we praise you because in spite of who we are, you are still good. And you show us grace. And Father, I pray that we would be that very example to the world around us. Help us to live by grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.